Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is June 13th, 2015, and I'm so blessed you joined me on NoBetterWay.net. Tonight's show is titled Our Father Who Art in Heaven, and tonight's reflection verses are from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. So Jesus is telling his disciples and the people of his day how to pray. Jesus is saying that personal prayer, this is not about corporate prayer like a church or a gathering, but our personal prayer is very private, very intimate, where we can get away with the Father and talk privately with our Father, spending time alone. Just like the Our Father prayer says, praising the Father, calling for his kingdom to come, seeking his will, asking the Father for our needs, asking the Lord's forgiveness of our sins, and in return, forgiving those who have sinned against us, and finally, asking the Lord's protection from the evil one. So as we pray like this, we follow Jesus on how we should pray. I mean, this is Jesus giving the example through the Our Father. He gave us an example how we should pray. Pray to our Father in heaven. And our Father in heaven already knows our hearts, and he will answer our prayers. Amen. The Father is faithful, and he delights in our praises when we praise him. And he always shows us his will. I mean, we pray for God's will be done, right? Well, sometimes we need to dig into the Word of God to find his will, not just live our lives and pray for the will, but yet never read, because that Word of God talks to us, right? The Holy Spirit talks to us and moves us, and it'll move us in his will. And one of the best ways to know his will, like I said before, I'll say it again, is through reading of his Word. And then and when we come in prayer with a repentant heart and we seek his forgiveness, he is gracious and merciful to forgive us our sins. And in return, we must forgive those that sin against us. And I must say that forgiving those that have offended us, sometimes in a very deep, hurtful way, to forgive can be a long process. But in the end, we are freed from the shackles of unforgiveness. Where I've heard many pastors say that when we're holding back, when we fail to forgive, right, we're thinking that we're going to give that poison of unforgiveness to the person that offended us. But really, we're actually drinking that poison ourselves, because it's making our lives bitter. We're hanging on to unforgiveness, and we're tasting the bitterness of unforgiveness. So when we forgive, we actually bless ourselves. And finally, to ask deliverance from the evil one. And, you know, I hear the Our Father today And it doesn't say evil one. It says, and deliver us from evil, which is fine. But, you know, when you read the original prayer, it says the evil one. So it's talking about Lucifer, about Satan and his minions, right? So we're asking God to deliver us from those that evil and the evil one. And we are, through the Holy Spirit, we have the power, through the blood of Jesus Christ. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So God will deliver us from evil and the evil one. And I'd like to say, through the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit, there's nothing, just like when we read in Romans 8:39, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing in this world, nothing, no demon, no evil things, death, anything in this world can separate us from the love of Christ. And those are great words, comforting words for us to know. And through the Our Father, right, the universal prayer, Jesus has given us this universal prayer that is prayed by all denominations, right? It's the prayer that brings all denominations together, no matter if we're Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever we are. We can all gather together and pray the Our Father together, and all mean the same thing to us, right? And that's a blessing from Jesus. He gave it to his disciples and then put it into the Word of God, and now we have that blessing. So Jesus has given us this perfect prayer, the Our Father. And like I said before, it's a prayer that all Christian denominations pray. And as we pray the Our Father, we can expand on our prayer life. We can develop our personal prayer time and spend time every day where we can go to the throne room of God, seeking his holy will. And I always feel the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the Our Father. I always feel comfortable knowing they are words from Jesus, words to talk to the Father, words to praise the Lord, words to seek his will, words to ask forgiveness of our sins, and in gratitude, forgive others who have offended us. And it's also words to ask for our needs, right? Give us our daily bread. Ask for our daily needs. And words to seek protection from the evil one, right? When God will empower us, he will protect us. When we're empowered with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, again, I'll say, greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. So Satan and his minions, they fear Jesus of Nazareth. They fear those words. Jesus of Nazareth has power and authority over all the world. He is sovereign. And the demons and all the minions must obey him. Amen. So, folks, as I look at how Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, he also showed us how important prayer was to Jesus. I mean, how important Jesus, where he had to get away and pray. You know, when we read the Bible in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see Jesus, although he had a busy ministry, he was preaching the word. He was preaching the good news, right? He was preaching repentance. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. He was even raising the dead. But Jesus always found time to pray, to talk to his beloved Father. Jesus was the greatest example of how to pray because he is the author of prayer. He is the Son of God. He is the great I Am. He is the God. So I say amen to that. Okay. Well, let's take a little break. And then when I get back, I've got some readings to share. And then I'd love to have some of you to call in. But right now, we're going to just take a little break. We're going to play a song, On My Knees. And I hope you guys enjoy it. And I'll be back in a few minutes. Sorry, folks, I'm having a little technical difficulty here. Here we go. Thanks for your patience. Well, folks, what a beautiful song. There's power on my knees. Boy, there is power on my knees. Even Jesus believed that. I think about all the times I prayed and I didn't always get the prayer answered the way I liked. I prayed for healing for people that I loved, and they weren't healed. Maybe God kept them around longer than that was going to be, but could be that the prayers kept them on earth longer. I prayed for blessings. I prayed for difficult situations, and I can say I've been blessed so many times in response to my prayers. And I can truly say that the good Lord always hears your prayer. And sometimes, you have to wait. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says no. But Father knows best. Just like the old TV show from the 50s and 60s, it was a show, Father Knows Best. And He does. When Jesus was saying, when He was teaching about the Our Father, He's saying that the Father knows what we're praying for even before we ask. So He knows our hearts, and He knows our past, present, and future. And what a wonderful Father we have, our dear Father in heaven. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give out the number. Call the number is 347-989-0095. Love to have you call in. And you could share a story. Share a story of prayers being answered in a powerful way. A miracle that happened in your life. Some great thing that happened. It has to be a God thing, a wonderful God thing. I'd love to hear from you. We're all friends. Please give me a call. That number again is 347-989-0095. You know why? I've got a minute here. I'm going to say a prayer. Today I went to my son's house and I ran into my sister-in-law, Debbie. And she has cancer and she's not doing too good. And, we talked and prayed and, just hadn't seen her in a while, and it was good to see her. And her spirits are, she's around the people she loves, so her spirits were up. I just want to pray for her now. Dear Lord, I pray for my sister-in-law, Debbie. I know she's struggling with her health. Lord, I know that you have her in your hands. She believes in you, Lord, and she believes in you, Jesus, as your Savior. You are the great physician. I pray, Lord, that you put your healing hands upon her and lift this cancer from her body. You are the Alpha and Omega. You know every cell in our body. Just like in Psalm 139, where it says, we are all beautifully and wonderfully made. Ever since the beginning, when we were one cell, you knew us. You knew us even before that. And Lord, I just deeply ask that you would touch Debbie, heal her, take this cancer away, Lord. And I pray in the powerful name of Jesus, the almighty name of Jesus, Lord, in your will, for your glory, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, again, I'll give out that number, 347-989-0095. And, I've got a little time, so I'm going to read I did a little homework and read a little bit about different places where Jesus prayed. Of course, he taught the disciples the Our Father, when they saw how Jesus was just, he was the perfect role model. I mean, he no matter how busy he was, he always took time to pray. And I'd love to have that discipline, just one ounce of the discipline Jesus had. What a great role model. I was reading in Luke chapter 4, verse 42, where it says, at daybreak, Jesus went to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. And so this was right when sun broke. This was early, early in the morning. And Jesus had been here, proclaiming the good news, preaching repentance, and he had been healing. I'm sure he was quite tired, but he made sure he got up early. He went to be alone, and he went to pray with his Father. And the people were looking for him because they were desperate. They wanted him to stay. They didn't want him to leave, but he was going to move on. And no matter what, no matter how tired, Jesus would take time to pray. So my question to you folks is, sometimes when you're tired, sometimes, when you're busy, even if you take a couple of minutes just to say a short prayer, use that formula I like is, if you take the word praise, right? You take the word pray, rather, where you go P for praise. So you start out your prayer with a nice praising the Lord, thanking him for all his blessings. And then you go to R would be repent. So then you repent of all your sins and seek your forgiveness and also forgive others for sinning against you. And then A, or ask, where you ask for your needs, just like in Our Father, where we ask for our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread. So we ask the Lord for our needs. And then Y would be yield. We yield to the Lord's will, right? Thy will be done, right? The Lord's will be done, not our will. We'd like to do things our way, right? Oh, I can do it. I can do it on my own. No, seek the Lord's will. And how do we find the Lord's will? Through prayer, just like we're doing here, through reading his word, right? God's word tells us how to live. So that's a nice little formula I like to use. Pray, take the word pray. P for praise, R for repent, A for ask, and Y for yield to God's will. All right. I'm going to read another reading, and this one is, and it just goes to show you, these disciples were close to God, and I'm going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is in Mark. This is in Mark chapter 14. Give me a moment here, folks. Mark chapter 14, starting with verse 32. And here Jesus knew that his time had come. Time had come for the cross. His ministry was finished, and his ministry would be finished and completed upon the cross. So this is starting in Mark chapter 14, verse 32. And this is when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So Jesus, and if you go to the reading of Mark and you go into the reading in Luke chapter 22, It also refers to where Jesus sweats drops of blood. That's how intense, how agonizing the time was for him, knowing that his time for the cross had come, and he was praying to the Father. And in Luke, it talks about the angels coming to care for him and strengthen him. And in this time, this not desperate, but this sorrowful time for the Lord, he needed to pray to the Father, right? In the end, he said, not thy will, but your will be done. And so I ask you folks, when there's a time where you're in sorrow, you're in pain, oh, you know, you don't know how you're going to handle what you're going through or you're heading into, it's a time that don't run from the Father, run to him, run for him. Seek his will, seek his strength, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's in Philippians 4, verse 13. So Jesus found prayer so important in his life. You know, all those other things were important. Of course, it was important for him, to preach the gospel of repentance. It was important for him to show that he was the Son of God and that he healed the sick, right? He raised the dead. He raised Lazarus, his dear friend Lazarus, from the dead. And then eventually Jesus would die, right? His ministry would end on the cross. He would say, it is finished. He would die. But that wasn't the end, right? Death could not keep this good man of God, the Son of God, death could not keep him down. The Holy Spirit, on the third day, raised him from the dead. And in that, we believers in Jesus Christ, right, we all have hope. We have that hope, that hope that gives us faith, right? And then eventually, knowing Jesus, eventually we're living the kingdom here on earth, but eventually we'll be in heaven together. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give that number out again. Looking for a call. I'd love to have someone just share a story. Share a story how important prayer is to them, how prayer has been answered. Or maybe prayer hasn't been answered the way you wanted. Maybe someone you were praying for you prayed for them to be healed and they passed away. And, sometimes our prayers are not answered the way that we want, but yet he does always answer them. And I really think that we'll never know why until we get to heaven, then we'll understand why. But till then, that's what faith's about, trusting in Jesus. Amen. Okay, I will give that number out one more time. 347-989-0095. Love to hear from you, folks. And in the meantime, I'm gonna play another song. Here's a good one. This is "Praise You in the Storm." Maybe right now you're going through a storm, and I say, folks, what a great time to praise God. You may not feel like praising Him, but to praise Him not only in the good times, but praise Him in the storms, and watch how He works and how He blesses us, and how our faith grows through that storm. Okay, hope you enjoy, folks. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Through the rain, I'm with you.
Praise you in the storm, even when my strength is almost gone. I'll praise you in the storm. That's what Casting Crowns, that beautiful song, were talking about going through some storm in their life, and yet they'll continue to praise. You know, that's a beautiful thing. Probably not always easy to praise when we're broken and things look pretty hopeless, but we all have hope in Jesus Christ, right? And that's what the church is about too, is when we are in that situation, that others come together with you and pray for you, right? Lift you up, strengthen you, encourage you, right? That, let you know that they're praying for you and that they're caring for you, just like the book of Acts, where all the needs of the people of the church were met. And so that's part of that, when storms come, that the church rises up, and just like Jesus, we become little role models of Jesus, and those in need we care for, and that makes part of that storm more bearable. There's those in the church that love us and care for us through that storm, and of course, prayer is a big part of that. Amen. Okay, I'm looking for a call or two. Love to have you call in and share your story. a story about a prayer. Maybe a favorite prayer. Maybe grandma taught you a prayer. Some kind of prayer that's special in your heart. Because grandma or your mom or maybe your dad, someone taught you a special prayer that means so much to you now. Love for someone to call in and share. Again, I'll give that number, 347-989-0095. All right, I've got another reading I'd like to read. And we've been talking about, Jesus, the perfect role model of how to pray. And he taught us how to pray the Our Father. And in so many places in the Bible, it talks about Jesus' ministry. And one of the important things for Jesus was always to slip away and pray. And there's one of these moments where he must have did some long, deep prayer, for a long time. Because in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, it talks about how Jesus prays for himself. And I'm going to read a little of that. And then he also prays for his disciples. And then he also prays for all believers, which includes us. So I'll read a little bit of that, and just goes to show you how much Jesus loves us and wants us to be, part of his kingdom. He wants us to be where he is. He wants us to see his glory, be there, in the kingdom of eternity. And let's just share a few of the verses from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And I'll start with verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. So I'll stop there. And I just like to reflect on those verses. Go back to verse 2. It goes, for you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. What was that work? That work was his ministry, his 3 years of ministry, of preaching the gospel of repentance, his miracles, right, his healings, his casting out demons, raising the dead, forgiving sin, right? Remember how the Pharisees got so upset? Say, who are you that you can forgive sin? He was the Son of God. Okay, now I'm going to go read a little bit about the second section. And this is Jesus praying for his disciples. I have revealed you, this is starting with, verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the word you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. So I like the words where it says, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They believed them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. They believed in Jesus, that he was the Christ, right? He was the Savior, that was the promised Savior that was to come. And then they would experience his death on the cross and the resurrection in just a few, maybe weeks or months. So Jesus truly loves his disciples, and he's praying for them. And then he goes down to say about his disciples, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it, right? Where it says, be not of the world, just in it. So here it says, Jesus says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So it's God's word, right? God's word sanctifies us, right? It's truth. That all written word, all biblical written, all scripture is truth. And this word of God that increases our faith, fills us with the Holy Spirit, right? Given to the disciples and given to us. Amen. And now I'm going to go down to the third section. Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those, this is starting with verse 20 in chapter 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you love me before the creation of the world. So Jesus is praying about us. We're the believers, part of the believers that he's praying about. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. So he wants us to be with him. Isn't that awesome? He loves us so much. It's just like a dear friend that you miss, right? He's on the other side of the world, but you want him to be with you, right? To fellowship with you, to hang with you, right? Talk old times over, talk about the Lord, and how the Lord has blessed your life, share stories, whatever, but you're just wanting to be with each other. And Jesus wants you with him. And one day, when we pass away, or if Jesus returns before that, we'll be with Jesus, and our fellowship, will be complete. Amen. Okay, I've got a caller. And I'll take that call. Welcome to NoBetterWay.net. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Pretty good, pretty good. Talking about our Father who art in heaven. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and he taught them the prayer, the Our Father. And then I've just been talking about how Jesus, how important it was for, Jesus to pray. He always found time to slip away, no matter how busy his ministry was. He always found time to slip away and pray to his Father.
Yeah, that's great. Think about God as our Heavenly Father. I'm just reading the Nora tonight, parable of the lost son, and desires to do his own thing, run away, questions that his father best and has best for him, runs off and parties and does all that, and yet the whole time the father just wants his kid back. And it's not about he got his story straight, figured out how he's going to apologize, how he's going to get his dad to listen to him and love him again. But the love never left, and he just wanted his kid back. And no matter what condition that the kid was in, he wanted him back. And that's a good picture of God as our Father right there, just that love he has for us. And a lot of people make the mistake that, I'm going to have to clean myself up, get myself all squared away, and then maybe, God will love me. But nah, the love's already there. He created all of us, so.
That's pretty cool, yeah. I think Jesus, that was one of his best stories. He told that story, I think, just to let everyone know, like you said, that God the Father, he loves us, and, he doesn't want us to fall into sin and do things like the prodigal son did, but no matter what, he loves us and he'll always take us back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, God, who art in heaven, you say, so God's reigning from his throne with Jesus, of course, and gives us his spirit, and we await the day to be united with him in his presence for eternity. But in the meantime, we recognize that he loves us and help other people recognize that he loves them as a father. And, a lot of people have fathers that left when they were born. They never maybe met their father, or their father never really loved them, and that's rough, but, gives them a bad picture of a father. But God is the perfect father, no mistakes, knows how to love perfectly and all that. And people will just trust him with their life. They'll see that he's worthy of that trust, and they'll see how much he does love them. Once he reveals his love to them, in fullness. So the problem is he does love people and gives his life and everything else, but most people just don't see the love and kind of reject that it's coming from him almost. So that's the main thing, is God desires that relationship, and pretty cool to be adopted by God, so.
Yeah, we're...
A lot of people that need, parents, that are a lot of orphans in the world, and it's like we're all like orphans, like in a spiritual sense, and we need to be adopted in by God the Father.
Yeah, and I was reading from John 17, Dave, and it talks about how Jesus prayed for himself and for the disciples, and he also prayed for all believers in the future, and how he desires to be with them, to have fellowship with them. And I just thought that was pretty cool that, Jesus is just, one day we'll be, fully, united with him, having full fellowship in heaven with him, or unless he returns to earth before, But I just thought that was pretty cool how much he, expressed how much he wanted to be with us.
Yeah, and I was kind of listening to that. It's kind of cool. He wants us to experience a relationship with God, like to the extent that he does. And just if you think about how awesome the relationship must be between the Father and the Son, he wants us to experience that kind of love and imagine experiencing that for eternity, how amazing that'll be, and, how sad we should be for people that reject that. I just think, the devil's tricked people into thinking that, if we talk about God in this way, that you have to, the only way is through Jesus, is through a true relationship with him, true faith in him. They act like we're freaks, tell them to do things that are beyond what they need to do, but that's a lie of the devil, that just be nice guy in your own idea of what nice is, and then you get to go to heaven. That's just not how it works. And the reason we keep teaching about Jesus is because we know how awesome it'll be to have a perfect relationship, I think we've all experienced relationships that are great and have great moments. Like, you imagine your best relationship in your life and the top five moments of that, how amazing those were. Imagine those times a billion for eternity. And that's what people are missing out on by rejecting Jesus. And, so I just pray that people that are thinking about living for Jesus will truly love him and truly give him their life.
Dave,
not just how you're thinking.
I was going to say, while you're on the line, there's a person out there right now, Dave, listening, they've been interested in things of God. They've been reading the Bible. What would they need to do, Dave, to get their life, right with God and with Jesus? What would they need to do?
Well, what I would be, and what they would be encouraged to hear, has nothing to do with them straightening themselves out. Because I tried to straighten myself out for over 20 years, and I was never able to do it. And You know, I could have tried it for another 60 years. I still would have never been able to do it, but Jesus could transform you. But it's all about putting your faith in Jesus. Why did he die? It just seems, you know, it seems like a strange thing for God to die.
Yeah.
So why did he do it? He did it because he knew we were desperate to be saved from our sins. We were separated from God. And in his love, chose to die a painful death. And not only the physical pain, but the spiritual suffering that came from taking on all the wrath of God the Father for all the murders throughout the centuries, all the hatred and evils perpetuated. He died for the sins of the world and for all those who tell God they're sorry for their sins, say they believe in Jesus, admit that they have sins that deserve eternal punishment for. They want to turn from those sins, believe in Jesus, that he died for their sins, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again because he's God, proving he defeated sin and death. And then confess your faith in Jesus and just live for him. And you don't have to be perfect. You just have to give him your life, love him, and serve him. You know, like any child is not going to perfectly obey their parents, but you could tell the difference between a child who is in rebellion from their parents, right? They're just always doing what they don't care what their parents says. They sneak around and disobey them on purpose versus the kid that loves their parent and wants to obey them. But it's going to make some mistakes sometimes. There's a big difference between those two. But they're both going to screw up. But the child who loves their parents and desires to follow their leadership, they're going to at least be seeking to do that. That's what God wants. He just wants you to believe in him. Trust in him to be saved, not in your own good deeds. And then just seek to love him and love others. It's all about love. He wants you to love him and love others. And to do that, you need to obey him. That's a big part of loving him. And it's for your own good. So.
Yeah, like you say, Dave, right? Those in heaven, there's no regrets. Not one. Right?
Nope. That's what I was saying. I mean, pride will get in our way, you know. I remember when you first started going to church all the time, I thought me and my friends and everyone else would kind of laugh and say, hey, this guy's just going over the top. What's wrong with this guy? He's like a religious, kind of crazy religious guy, always at church, always serving. What's the deal with that? And we thought we were all fine, you know. We thought we were on a gravy train to heaven ourselves just by, you know, occasionally being nice when we're not being jerks. You know, we're not living great lives, but.
Well, Satan has a way of deceiving people, thinking, yeah, I'm a pretty good guy, and the world keeps telling everybody that all good people go to heaven, and I must be a good person. But no, the only way is through Jesus. There is no other way, right? He paid the price.
Yeah.
We all are sinners. You know, he paid the price, the Lamb of God who took the sin of the world away.
Yeah.
And that's the only way. That's God's way, and there is no other way. What is it? John 14:6. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Amen.
Yep. And that's why we keep talking about Jesus in the society that says, quit talking about Jesus, keep it to yourself.
Right.
Wow. You know, if it was like I'm telling you to join the Lions Club instead of joining some other sports club or whatever, you know, then maybe I could be quiet if you don't want me to talk to you about it. But we're talking about something that has
salvation.
An eternal impact. Yeah, if you love someone, you don't be quiet just because they tell you to shut up when you're telling them something they need to hear, you know. Not loving to just stop talking about it. It's a chicken thing to do, to be honest. We get scared when people don't want to hear it, but, you know, you got to find ways to tell them. And just pray that they'll listen.
Yeah.
You don't give up on someone's eternity.
No. Well, I got to wrap up the show. I've got 4 minutes left. David, thank you so much for calling in tonight. You're always a blessing to the show. And
all right, my pleasure.
Father's Day next week. So happy Father's Day to you. And
happy Father's Day to you as well.
Okay, and we'll talk soon, Dave. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, that was my son, Dave. So thankful that he called in. And then we're going to wrap up the show. What I'm going to do, instead of a closing prayer, I'm going to do what they call a doxology. It's in Romans chapter 11, starting with verse 33 through 36. It praises God. I will praise him with this doxology, and then I'll have the closing song, which will be I Still Believe. This is Romans chapter 11, starting with verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths made beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be the glory forever. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Good night, everybody. Talk to you next week. God bless.
The scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pull from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. It seems I don't know where to start, but it's now that I feel you breathe for like rain from every fingertip, washing away my pain. 'Cause I still believe in your faithfulness. 'Cause I still believe in your truth. 'Cause I still believe. I still believe.